From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of September 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll get an early start on Commodity Week, recorded yesterday afternoon at the Farm Progress Show. We'll also check in on the agricultural weather with somebody else who spent some time at the Farm Progress Show. Eric Snodgrass will be here from Agrible. He's back in Champaign and on campus. We'll check in with him. And along the way, we'll check in on the latest agricultural news, too, right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Unify Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Friday afternoon, we're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, back in the saddle there at home after making a wild trip from there to the Farm Progress Show yesterday in Decatur and back home. Boy, 12 hours on the road. Mike, thanks so much for coming out and sitting with the audience and having a nice chat with them yesterday afternoon.
It's always worth it for Will Radio and the programming you do, Todd. And it was a great drive, too. It was a beautiful day and got a lot of interesting crops to look at and got a lot of people to talk to. And it was good to see some of my colleagues there as well.
Well, let's talk about what happened this week and how things finished up. In particular for the soybeans, last couple of days of the week, we managed to rally a bit. Corn yesterday had a good rally too.
Yes, I think the beans will start off there. It hung in there and it hung in there nicely today. Even though we didn't close where we needed to on a monthly chart yesterday, we really did nicely as we closed out this week going into the Labor Day holiday because we got the September beans back above that key 940 level. You and I have been talking about that on the weekly and monthly charts. That allowed the November to retake its 950 level. So we're back in a market area where I think the market bears, who are chartists especially, are kind of on, chartists are really on notice here, Todd. And I say that not just from a chart perspective, but also because of what we've started to see in the weather. We've got a pretty rapid drying down process happening in the Midwest. And I've been more negative in terms of the beans this year than the corn. And while I still feel like that's the right way to go in terms of how you plan your harvest hedge strategy and what you sell first, looking at the spreads, looking at the carrying charges, and so on and so forth, I still think the beans are probably the weakest card to be able to play in your hand, partially because of North Korea and the size of the South American crop. But we also have some weather to talk about now. And I think that's where what I told clients the past few weeks is you've got to get the wheat and corn off your back if you're the soybeans. And we did that. And I think that's what you mentioned when you started to talk about the corn as well.
Yeah, so when you mentioned the weather, are we talking about the remnants of Harvey as it makes its way through the Ohio Valley, where the Ohio River Valley, Tennessee, parts of Kentucky, maybe in Louisiana, where they really are in the midst of harvest for soybeans and corn?
Yes, exactly. You're getting right now, because of Harvey, a wet delta in Mississippi River, Tennessee River, and Ohio River Valley that you don't want for the most part. Now, I would exclude some clients in Kentucky. I talked to an Owensboro client, as a matter of fact, today, purposely to talk to him about his beans, and they could use a rain, no question. But you get up north of Memphis, that probably is a good thing to happen in terms of rains. But south of Memphis, you don't want rains. And at the same time, that Harvey remnant is sucking moisture out of the middle part of the country. And I'm starting to see triple-digit heat again in the plain states as we get into the middle of next week. And so I think the idea that we're going to cool off and give these plants a chance to fill out and fill up, I think the trade really has to be second-guessing themselves right now, depending on where this next system, Irma, is going to end up being. Right now, the forecasters that I use both are saying that we're going to hit the Bahamas, and it's going to pinball off of the Bahamas and head pretty much north-northwest, straight up the Atlantic coast and not mess with the Gulf of Mexico.
All right. So if it turns, and I know I talked to Eric Snodgrass already, and he agrees with that assessment, the question is whether it actually comes up along the eastern coast or whether it actually comes out and makes a harder right turn and ends up not really impacting, because he's a little on the concerned side that that could be a big devil of a problem if it hits the east coast because of the power that is beginning to get off those warmer currents that are out in the Atlantic Ocean. I wanted to come back just a little bit to talk about one item you've mentioned more than once, and I know you did this yesterday, but and you just mentioned it to North Korea. It's hard to guess what impact that might have. I take it this has you pretty concerned.
Well, it does, just from a simple risk management standpoint, as far as where do you put your money down to protect yourself. And, you know, the whole point of bona fide hedging is to spend a dime and try and offset that with 40, 50, 60 cents on the other side. In other words, I know that clients and producers are worried about losing a potential indemnity in their crop insurance with their beans right now by the market rallying going into October. But I think because of the triangulation between North Korea and the United States and China, and the fact that we do have a president that seems, in my mind, and I think I've got some history to back me up with this, seems Teddy Roosevelt-ish in terms of his rhetoric and his actions, I think that has to be a concern. So, in other words, I would not mind if we could get another 15, 25 cents higher in the soybeans, going ahead and getting some puts bought in the beans because of North Korea, because of the potential for the hurricane to put rains where we need them, or whatever reason, with the idea that if I'm wrong, so to speak, by doing that, then I should be able to more than offset that with a better cash selling price. And I think that's really what's at the heart here in 2017, because we've got a lot of pressure in agriculture right now financially, Todd. You know that. I know that. And what's best for the producer right now is to get as close to profitable levels and deeper into profitable levels without letting the market get away from them. Because as I've said before, 2017 is crucial to being able to get through 18, 19, and 20. And we've had some really good inflationary numbers this week all around the world. Gold is at 1325. It's the best since September of last year, led by copper, which is the best level since 2014. We've got some inflationary things to talk about, but we got to get through some of these other things first.
Hey, thanks so much for taking so much time with me today, and we'll look forward to talking with you again after the Labor Day holiday. Have a good one.
Get some rest, sir.
I will indeed. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Let's talk now about the weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's at AgriBull. Eric, tell me about this beautiful weather we've been having here in the last couple of days.
Yeah, you know, we had this flow setup where a big high-pressure system in the middle part of Canada has finally slid far enough south, brought a cold front through us yesterday, and knocked temperatures back, and it was fantastic sleeping weather last night. You know, it certainly cooled things down a bit. But that front's a bigger player than just cooling our temperatures off. What it's really helped do is it's helped steer the remnants of Harvey, which have come right up the gut of the Mississippi, over toward the Ohio River Valley. And unfortunately, last night we saw between 4 and 8 inches of rain that passed through parts of Tennessee and Kentucky. And this is getting very, very close to their harvesting. And some of the guys are out doing some early harvesting. This is going to really impact things. That's 48 inches of rain. That's quite a bit. Now, of course, that doesn't compare at all to the 50 inches of rain that we saw, in and around Houston. And I'll tell you something. Some of the early damage estimates are coming out, putting this particular event somewhere very close to the top of the most costly U.S. natural disasters ever. A very preliminary, very early number estimates between $70 and $100 billion, which makes this the second most costly U.S. natural disaster we've had. So Harvey's still not done, still raining very heavily through the Ohio River Valley, you know, causing some issue. But if we kind of look through the rest of our weekend, that front does keep us cool today, but we start to see that there's a second front that's kind of pushing across the Dakotas right now, bringing some showers and storms to those really dry areas in those states. But behind that, we've got some warmer air. So we're going to be warming up throughout the weekend, possibly getting, you know, pretty nice and warm by the time we get into Labor Day. But, you know, as that slides to the east, it looks like it's kind of waning a little bit and breaking up maybe over our drier air. And as a consequence, I don't think we're going to see the showers and storms that Nebraska through North Dakota is getting today, getting all the way over to Illinois by the time we get into our weekend. So pretty nice weekend shaping up for us.
I'll bet, because you were at the Farm Progress Show like me, you were asked more than once, what about this frost potential we have coming up? You'll know more than I do. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I got a really good question about frost and full moons. So let's start there. This was neat. Question, hey, does the big full moon mean anything with an early frost? And my response is that the correlation between full moons and frost, there is no correlation unless you can see it. You see, once you get to this time of year when we're, looking for frosts, nights that have full moons that you can see means we also have clear skies. And the consequence of clear skies allows for strong, what we call radiational cooling, which basically means that you can get, cooler than otherwise. Now, you have to have that in concert with a pretty highly amplified trough ridge pattern to have a frost, in mid-September when we're talking about Illinois. And that's pretty rare. But we're watching this a similar setup going on by the time we get in midweek. So by the 6th of September, we're going to see a huge ridge out west. I mean, they are just burning up out west. And we're in a pretty deep trough. And this looks like the frost start will creep into Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin and Michigan. Here in Illinois, we're going to see our lows in the 40s. So it's certainly an important factor to be on the lookout for this time of year. But an early kind of devastating frost doesn't look like it's in the works for the majority of the Corn Belt. So, yeah, great question there.
And what do you see for the month of September as far as rainfall, precipitation, and temperatures?
Yeah, I do see the cooler pattern hanging on for the eastern half of the country, and that's simply because the pattern we're in with a ridge out west, trough east, doesn't seem to be breaking down too much at all as we kind of slide into September here. Overall, even though we might see some rain on the front end of that front as it comes through by the September 5th, 6th, 7th, September's looking to be a drier than average month for a lot of the Corn Belt. But there's always the wild card with the tropics. And right now we're watching another very, very potent system moving across the central Atlantic Ocean. It's called Hurricane Irma. It's a Cat 3 hurricane. And from a meteorological perspective, what I will be watching all weekend long will be the winds that are going to steer this system. And for those that kind of know a little bit about the tropics, we have what was called the subtropical ridge. And if that thing kind of sets up to the north of Irma, it has basically the steering winds pushing Irma into the East Coast, and it's got a lot of people worried. Now, understand this. We're still 8 to 10 days away from having to worry about a U.S. threat from Irma, so there's an enormous amount of uncertainty. Please hear me say that. But this is a powerful hurricane feeding off of very warm water, and it most certainly could be a player along the East Coast United States in the 8 to 10-day time frame. I'm hoping it recurves out into the open Atlantic by sliding that high pressure center to the east as fast as we can. So there's a lot of big important things to be watching right now in the world of agriculture and U.S. weather.
Hey, Eric, thanks so much, and thanks for keeping us up to date.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible from right here in Champaign County. Helps us wrap up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.